Hello. It's lovely to be here and to share this little tiny passage with you. Just a few verses, and yet there is such a lot that's packed into this little story. And it's an almost insignificant story, really, and it's kind of wedged between stories that are bigger and we probably know much more about. Jesus has just come from the house of Jairus, and on the way there, if you remember, he was stopped by the woman who touched the hem of his garment, and then he went on to Jairus' house and healed his daughter. And now he's on his way again. And we have these two blind men who were following him. And they were calling out to him, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And so the first thing that we kind of know about these guys, well, one of the first things, is that they weren't clear who Jesus was, because the title they gave him was Son of David. And Son of David was one of the titles that was used for the one that was going to come, you know, the one that was going to come on the big horse with all the armor and the warriors and was going to save Israel from the Romans. That was what they thought the Son of David would do. And so it's clear that they hadn't quite caught on with who Jesus was. And yet, it didn't matter, because it didn't stop those two men having a significant encounter with Jesus. And so it means that you do not have to have your theology straight before you can connect with Jesus. So you haven't got to have it all worked out. You haven't got to be able to explain the Trinity or any of the other complicated things that are in the Bible. Call out to Jesus. Even if you get his name wrong, if your heart is right, then you will have an encounter. The other thing we learnt from those early verses were that they were two blind men. What did you all think of when you heard that they were blind? What's wrong with them? Can't see. I mean, that is the thing that hits us, isn't it? And yet there's more depth to that sense of blindness than just the possibility of visual sight, lacking visual sight. Have you got a blind spot? Trouble with blind spots is that you don't know they're there, usually. And so it's not always the one with the blind spot who can spot it. I bet we could say what each other's blind spots are more easily than we could point out our own. And that's because they're blind spots. But there's something else in this passage, in this description of these two blind men, that tells us something else. When I looked up the word blind, yes, it did have the meaning of visually blind and the sense of perhaps blind spots, but it also meant that they were emotionally blind. Now, I hadn't kind of come across that concept of emotional blindness before, so I did what we all do these days, and I consulted Mr. Google, and I was delighted. You probably know me well enough by now to know that I like words. And I was delighted to discover that there's a word for emotional blindness, and I knew part of the word, and so it pleased me enormously. The word is alexithymia. That's a word and a half, isn't it? Alexithymia. Now, if we break it down, A at the beginning of a word, what does that mean? The opposite of, without, absence, yes, the absence of. So A, lexi, those of you that play Scrabble, lexi, lexicons and things, words, yeah. So without, words, and I hadn't heard of thymia on its own, but I had heard of euthymia, normal mood. A, lexithymia, without, words, mood. And I thought, ah, now that tells me something about emotional blindness. So when you have a sense of a feeling yourself, and you probably all have known that, when you have something that is so deep within you, you can hardly put words to it. Yeah? But it can also mean that you don't recognize the moods of others. And you're blind to the behavior that people are presenting. You probably all got a sense of what that means. So these two guys, they could have been visually blind. There's a sense that they were a bit spiritually blind because they didn't really know who Jesus was, and they were emotionally blind. So it affected their whole being. And they're calling out to Jesus. And this wasn't a polite, "Excuse me, Jesus. Hello there." You know, the kind of the, "Oh, I'm not sure if I want to put my hand up and be noticed here." The original word that was used for that calling out is a much stronger, harsher word. Do you know what onomatopoeic means? What does that mean?
I know what it means, but I can't explain it.
Okay. It sounds like it is. So some examples of onomatopoeia.
Bang.
Bang, yep. Flash, swish. Birds, there are some birds with onomatopoeic names. Cuckoo. Chiff chaff. Yep. So it sounds like it is. And this is an onomatopoeic word for the cry of a raven. And if you've ever heard a raven's cry, it's loud. It's harsh. It's kind of got an urgency about it. So these two blind men were not just politely calling out to Jesus. They were calling out with that harshness, that loudness, that depth. We could say that they had an inarticulate cry of the heart because they couldn't put words to it. I bet you've all known what it is to have one of those. An inarticulate cry of the heart where what's going on for you is so deep, maybe so painful, that actually you can't put words to it. And that's where these guys were. And then what happens next, I don't know if you noticed it in the reading, is quite surprising. There they are, following Jesus down the street, calling out to him. And what did he do? He went indoors. He went indoors. Have you ever prayed and felt like Jesus has gone indoors and shut the door and you're left on the street going, "What? What happened there then?" I know that feeling too. That whole thing of unanswered prayer is a big, big topic, isn't it? Huge topic. Have you ever had prayers that have not been answered? Yeah, me too. Does it mean if God didn't answer our prayer, does it mean he didn't hear them? Is that what you believe? So if he didn't hear them and didn't answer them, does that mean he chose not to answer? Or worse, is he fickle? You know, "I'm going to answer yours, but I'm not going to answer yours." Is that how he is? I don't think so. Do you? But it is a bit of a mystery, isn't it, unanswered prayer? Do I believe God answers prayer? Yes, I do. Do you know, I've had a bit of a revelation this week thinking about this this particular story for tonight. Because for some reason, and I couldn't tell you why, it made me think about a time in my life when, this is probably 15, maybe longer, years ago, maybe 20 years ago, very, very, one of the worst times in my life, very, very painful. It was to do with a family situation that was going on. It wasn't me in the middle of it, it was another member of my family, and yet we were all caught up in this. And if I had an inarticulate cry of the heart, it was then. And I remember as I was going to work, there was always a stretch that I had to walk. And as I walked that stretch, I would pray. And I would pray almost the same prayer day after day after day after day. And as I was thinking about it this week, I thought, God didn't answer any of those prayers then. And yet, he answered the prayer. He didn't answer the detail of what I prayed. Because I got it all wrong, you see. If he'd have answered my prayer in the way that I prayed it, well, I don't think things would be very good now. He answered the prayer his way. And I suddenly saw for the first time that he didn't answer the detail, but he answered the cry of my heart. And it's taken me 15 years to understand that. So I'm very glad to be doing this with you tonight, because I don't think I'd have had that revelation had I not been doing this with you this evening. When I was at Sunday school, we were taught that God answered prayer in one of three ways. And maybe you've heard this too. Yes, no, and the third one, wait. And of course, as you grow up, you realize that actually that simplistic yes, no, and wait is a little bit more complicated than that. And what I've come to learn, painfully and difficultly as it is, is that, yes, God answers prayer. But he does not always answer prayer in the way that I ask it. But I don't pray the right things. And so it challenges me, and I have to say I'm not very good at it yet, but it challenges me to seek his heart for whatever the situation is. Because if I can get a sense of what his heart is for the situation, I might pray something that's actually more in line with what he wants, and then see the answers to prayer. I think so often I don't see the answer to prayer because I'm looking over here wanting this to happen and he's doing something over here and I don't see it. So Jesus has gone indoors and the blind men come to him. I don't know how it works in the time of Jesus with the houses and, you know, but it seems to me that these two blind men went into the house. They must have done. They followed him. And that says something about persistence, doesn't it? About following through in prayer. And then they come before Jesus. And he doesn't say to them, what do you want me to do for you? What is it you want? Or any of those kind of normal questions that you think he might ask at this point. And actually at this point, they haven't asked for anything. All they've asked for is mercy. And what Jesus says to them is, do you believe I'm able to do this? That's Jesus' question to them. And they say, yes, Lord. They weren't calling him Lord to begin with, but they are now. Something in this encounter has already changed them and their understanding of who Jesus is. Do you believe I am able to do this? And they say, yes. And that's all it took for then Jesus to be able to kindle their sight. He touched their eyes and kindled their sight. And I think that would have been body, mind, and spirit. It would have been the whole thing. And their sight was restored. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And at that point, your heart sinks because you think, oh dear, I can muster up this amount of faith. And does that mean that only that much eyesight comes back? No, because it's the faith that God deposits in you for that moment to say, yes, Lord. And Jesus responded to that faith, not the faith you can put together, but the faith God gives you for that moment. So this little encounter, it didn't depend on their theology. It didn't depend on their faith. It was God's gift. It all depended on Jesus. And there was transformation as a result.